Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Last week, indeed last church year, we heard about the word of our Lord about the last things, the last day. The final coming of our Lord Jesus, which was compared to a bridegroom coming for his bride, the church, the foolish and the wise virgins, and so forth. This week we hear of the daughter of the king, or daughter of Zion, having a king come for her to deliver her from unrighteousness and condemnation. For righteous and having salvation is this king. As Matthew loves to point out throughout his whole gospel, this is to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. This is to fulfill Scripture. That Jesus fulfills the word of the Lord, whether this be the word of the holy law or the word of every prophecy of the Christ, every word of promise from God for the salvation of his people. He does it all. This time it's the word of our Lord that came from Zechariah and then also from Isaiah. Both of them preached about this speaking to the daughter of Zion, about the coming of the king. Both of them speak of this humble coming of the king, that the way that Jesus enters Jerusalem that first Holy Week, that first Palm Sunday, is humble in fulfillment of what these prophets said about this king. But there is more to it than just humbly entering the city of David. He is entering as the promised son of David, who will occupy David's throne forever, just as promised. But Zechariah also adds that he is righteous and having salvation. And Isaiah tells us that he comes with his reward and his recompense is before him. Righteous and having salvation. That this king comes is righteous. He is righteous because of his works. In the same way that your sins make you unrighteous, Christ's works, his perfect keeping of the law, makes him righteous. That the commandments are summed up in the word love. Love God, love your neighbor. That this is not like the world's love, but it is love that is spelled out by God, the God who is love. The God who spoke the world and wrote those commandments on stone and on human hearts. That if you put the world, as they like to talk about love, as you put that love against God's love, you will see just how fake, how shallow, and how rebellious the world has become. That it has lost all claim to the word love, because the love of God is not in the world. Put your own works against the word of the commandments, and you will find that your love has so often not been the type of love commanded by God either. That you have sins. And this is why the king has to come being righteous and having salvation. That Zechariah is prophesying and Matthew is telling us of the fulfillment, that Jesus is coming for sinners because he is righteous and having salvation. That sinners, you and me, we are unrighteous. Which means we need salvation. That we cannot save ourselves. That we can't even help ourselves. And this is why Jesus comes. This is why there is the first advent, the first coming of the Lord. Because without a humble king with righteousness and bringing salvation, we are all lost. That he could not come in glory at the first. Sinners then would be lost in that way, for no sinner can produce in himself the righteousness he needs, much less the righteousness that can save anyone else either. But Christ, who is without sin, he came to fulfill the scriptures, that God would deliver the unrighteous from their sins and make them righteous by having faith in him. Isaiah, in his speaking to the daughter of Zion, says that the king comes with reward and his recompense before him. That Jesus comes humbly with righteousness and with salvation, and he earns a reward. And that's what you are. The nations are his reward. He purchased, he won back that which the first Adam lost. That this second Adam, this king who comes, who is the Christ, he gets back what Adam lost. And that's you. That his recompense goes before him. His work of reclaiming what was lost, of redeeming all the children that had been lost. That he was going to be that very week the very payment to pay the debt that was owed. That sin and death and condemnation held their claim on sinners. But that Jesus, with his recompense before him, set his face toward Jerusalem with devotion for what was set before him, the payback of sin and death and condemnation, so that sinners could have forgiveness and life and salvation. The crowds knew this. That's why as they went before him and come after him, they cried, they shouted for deliverance. Hosanna! Save us, God! That Jesus, as the Son of David, coming in the name and the work of the Lord, had come righteous, having salvation, being himself the recompense, the repayment. That his body and his blood, his very life, would be that sufficient payment. And the result would be the reclamation of all people. That was what was put before Jesus that week. All that had happened, all that had been written, all that had been fulfilled already, all of it for Jesus' sacred work of earning your salvation. All of it in his first coming for the sake of each and every one of you today. Now, as Advent speaks of the coming of our Lord, we must also know then that the Lord still comes. He still comes humbly with mercy for sinners, not desiring to come yet in glory at the end of all things, but he still comes humbly, and he still comes with righteousness and salvation, that the nations and the peoples are still his reward, and now his recompense is no longer before him, but it's behind him now, because he's done the full work of your salvation. There is no more needing to be done. The debt has indeed been fully repaid. That sin and death and condemnation have been knocked out of their seats of power by this humble king who fulfills God's word. Now, the offense of this to so many is that we don't have right here in front of us today a man on a donkey, someone we can see and hear and so forth. someone we can put our prayers and our praises towards. That no, our Lord comes still humbly today, and that is received by faith, not by sight. That faith receives this humble King, this humble Lord in the present. And faith then receives all that this humble King Jesus brings with him in the present. The things that he earned in the past. His righteousness and his salvation. That these are his gifts to give. And he gives them humbly. And they are received by humble faith as well. And so he hides himself, even today, for the sake of sinners. Because sinners cannot handle the King or the glory of God. That in mercy and in love for you, he comes humbly in his word. This means the scriptures which you hear read, the scriptures that you read at home. That it also includes every word that is in agreement with those sacred scriptures, from the preaching to the teaching to the singing. That this word teaches and it then reminds us of God's holy things, of baptism and absolution and the Lord's Supper, that they are to be regarded as the saving means of grace. These delivery tools that our Lord humbly uses to bestow upon us all that he had earned for our sake. This is what he uses. This is how he comes, how he advents. This is then why we gather, even now, that there is great need for righteousness. There is great need for forgiveness and salvation. And those things, those great gifts, those very things that Jesus earned by his death, those things he now chooses to give out through his means. That the other ways which other churches, other ways which the world, or other ways the devil, or other ways that our own sinful flesh want to try to get us to think about earning our forgiveness or anything like it, they are all delusions, deceptions. Because none of those things have God's word of promise. None of those things deliver the righteousness and salvation of the King who comes. None of those deliver the work of Jesus to us. But all of those create a deadly pride and a false sense of security that defies humility. For a moment, try to imagine the scene, this familiar Palm Sunday scene. Try to imagine it happening today. This is something I've been pondering more and more in my own Bible reading, and how much disruption of the quote-unquote normal we have today. Would the crowd have even gathered? Would there be shouting? Or would fear have locked them all away from receiving the Lord Jesus as he came? Did that crowd know there was a greater need than physical health or safety? Don't be so sure in your answers for yourself. For Advent is a penitential season. It is a season that is meant to be blessing to us, but it's meant to be hard on us, with a strong emphasis on our sins and God's call to repentance. That let our penitence begin with our regard for the things of God, of how Christ comes to us now.
of how we receive the Word, of how we make use of that sacred Word in our homes. And then from that, let us then consider the love that we have lacked to show for our brothers and sisters, beginning in our homes, and then moving on to each other in this congregation, and then on to our witness, our testimony, to those who are around us in our day-to-day life. In those things, in our lack of love for God, and our lack of love for each other, our lack of love for all the neighbors God has put around us, we will have no shortage of proof of our own sinfulness and our own unrighteousness. And this is exactly why you and me need Jesus to come, righteous and having salvation, with His reward and recompense as well. And indeed, our Lord answers the cries. This day He comes, righteous and having salvation, humbly hidden under words, hidden beneath bread and wine, to bestow the great blessing upon the penitent, the faithful. That you don't have anything in and of yourself today that is righteous. So here today, our Lord Himself brings His righteousness to you. Hosanna. The crowds sang it, we pray it and sing it still. Save us, God. The answer to that plea, even as we sing it today, is the same that it was on that first Palm Sunday, that Christ is God and He has come to save us, and He has indeed saved us. That today is the day of your redemption, and that this pattern will continue until our Lord decides to come in full glory at the final advent. That as St. Paul encouraged the Christians in Rome, salvation is nearer to us today than when we first believed. And tomorrow will be closer still. And tomorrow you will stand in these gifts that Jesus gives to you today. That at the last, you will stand as one of His own, as a daughter of Zion, having the righteousness and salvation that Christ alone gives. That you will have all that He has done for you. Righteous, having the salvation He earned in the past, having the salvation, having the righteousness He gives in the present, that you may stand as one of His holy ones in the future. In the name of Jesus, Amen.